And angel Gabriel, he was described as an angel who stands in the presence of God, and he came to declare a message, to declare the word to Mary and to Zechariah. And the declaration of that word changed their lives. And so we're going to declare the word of the Lord today about healing. Amen. So we declared the word. And before I begin, I want Les Patton to come up. And in declaring God's word, we have seen cycles broken. Things that used to be a reoccurring thing where you'd take one step forward and two steps back. How many has ever been there? You know, you don't get too far forward doing that. It takes a lot of effort. But we've seen some cycles broken, and I just wanted Les to share some of his testimony about the things that have occurred, and then we're going to get into the word.
Let me start off with saying Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places." So when you get somebody who is trying to do something wrong to you, it's not necessarily that person, but it's the force that's driving that person. If you look up my, if you take my social security number and my name and you go to a database in the state police, you're going to find out a couple things about me that are bad. When I was 18, you know, me and some friends, we stole a vehicle. And there's a couple other minor things. There's a DUI on there. And there's also disorderly conduct. And let me just start by saying those are the things I got caught for. Because when I was younger, I was not really what you call a good boy. My wife, Julie, was a good girl. Never got into trouble. Let me lead into what happened. For most of you know what happened to Julie and I. October 30th, if somebody stole our truck. I didn't realize the keys were in there. I thought I had it to a mechanic the day before. Normally I keep it unlocked because I still live in that Ozzie and Harriet Leave It to Beaver neighborhood where things like that don't happen. And somebody was kind enough to rip my F-150 off and smash it into a tree down in Middletown and total it. When I called the police, you know, like every good, you know, like every normal person would do, and when the police came to my house that day, they look at me and they say, "Well, okay, y'all tell us what you know and we won't press charges against you." And I'm like, "What? You gotta be kidding me. I didn't take my truck and wreck it." Well, they said, "Well, you know, people do this stuff because they want to collect insurance money." And I'm thinking, why would I do something like that? I mean, here, for about a week straight, they're like, "Well, you know, we can get your cell phone records." I'm like, "Well, do it. We can test your hands for airbag." Apparently, when an airbag goes off, it can, you know, I guess some of this stuff can be in, fibers can be in your skin. I said, "Give me a breathalyzer, test me, check my phone records, do whatever you have to do. I didn't go and take my truck, call my wife up. You know, I didn't go take it, wreck it, call my wife up, have her pick me up." I said, "Why would I do something? Why would anybody do something like that?" I said, that's crazy. I mean, plus, you can sell it if I was going to do something like that. Well, as it turns out, part of that reason is looking up my record. And, you know, here you got a overzealous police officer that watched too much CSI and said, you know, probably thought that because I was this way 25 years ago, that today I would still go out and do something stupid like that. Part of what Pastor Doug has preached on is speaking the word, speaking your authority, also tithing. Now, Julie and I are faithful tithers. I'm not saying that to brag, I'm saying it because it's the truth. And the thing about it is, Julie and I stood in our spiritual authority. I stood my ground. I did not cave into fear. Of course, I got to the point where I told the township police where I said, I'm not talking to you no more. I'm done. You people are... Because another thing he would do is lie, make up lies and stuff to try to get me to confess to something I simply didn't do. Well, as it turns out, Julie and I kept praying and praying, and we prayed spiritual warfare prayers. We didn't just pray. I mean, we were praying in the spirit. We were following what the word says, and I know who I am in Christ. See, I'm saved. I'm not this person I was 25 years ago. I'm not drinking and using drugs and alcohol. I'm saved. See, the Holy Spirit's in me. I'm a new creature and a preacher. But I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm a child of the King of King and Lord Amen. And Lords. I'm not the scumbag that I used to be when I was 18. And believe me, trust me, I was a scumbag. And I stood on that authority. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He tried to accuse me and make me feel down. And one of the things about myself is a lot of times I would put myself down, hate myself, curse about myself, use four-letter words about myself. And I spoke a lot of stuff into existence that shouldn't have been. Since then, I have prayed and had these things broken. These things are broken and removed from my life. And they're not coming back.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And the thing about it is, like I said, we prayed. I sought the advice of Christians, of people in this church, including Pastor Doug. I even sought free consultation with a lawyer. I got to the point where I wasn't going to speak no more, and I just kept praying. Then to top it off, while this is all going on, my job sends me away for a couple of weeks, which I didn't really want to go anywhere. But at the same time, this was a blessing because I wasn't at home to deal with this anymore. So as it stands, finally, after a couple of weeks, the insurance company was allowed to come in. It took these people a couple of weeks to even allow this. Insurance company came in. They gave us $9,200 for my Ford F-150. They never caught the person who done it, which at this point I don't really care, and it don't bother me. I mean, you know, they can live with that. Then what happened after that? Julie called the one day. I think it was like the Tuesday or Wednesday. It was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and. First, let me back up just a little bit. When this was going on, I was in my hotel room and I was spending time with the Lord. I thought, this is the kind of truck I want. I want a blue truck, 4x4. I was writing down all the options I wanted, and you know, I came home from a 2 week of working in New Jersey, and I went out. I said to Julie, I'm going out to Turkey Hill for an auto locator. I'll be back. Well, I went out for another locator, and lo and behold, there was a truck that practically fit everything I wanted. And I thought, well, maybe this is the one God's telling me to get. As it turns out, when I checked into it like a day later, it wasn't. It has like 159,000 miles, and discernment said, don't get that one. But anyhow, we came back. Julie called up the police the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and said, when can we get our stuff out of our truck? When do you want it? She said, we want it either today or on Friday. And she very firmly told him this. As it turns out, that same day they called us back and we got all of our junk out of the truck. Thank God they even threw my fishing rods and stuff in the middle of the street. Everything was recovered from the truck that was stolen. Mm-hmm. I lost nothing. I lost Amen. Absolutely nothing.
Amen.
Then one of the things I said to Julie, I said, we're not getting the first truck we see, and I'm not dealing with one of these fly-by-night car lots. Well, as it turns out, I told Julie, I said, oh, let me add one more thing. I borrowed my Uncle Harry's car, and to add insult to injury, his alternator went out. So I had to get his car towed. After he got his car towed out of here, I said to Julie, let's just take a ride. So we took a ride up 230. We you know, up through High Spire and Middletown. Came back, circled back down. I said, do you want to go into, and I'll shamelessly plug this car dealer, and you'll know why in a minute. Jack's Auto Sales, if you need a used car, he's a good man. But anyhow, we went back there, and I don't have the truck with me right now. We took our car, but I got a Dodge Dakota. At first, I looked at it. Julie said, I really like this truck. And I'm like, well, that ain't the one I like. I like that one beside it. I wanted a big Dodge Ram or another F-150, but we test drove it, and all day Thanksgiving, she gives me the little, you know how women give you that, I want ice cream, honey, can I have some ice cream look, you know, I got that on all day Thanksgiving, and the guy gave me his cell phone number, said, because I'm not going to be open on Friday because of Thanksgiving, but if you need me for something, give me a call. Well, Friday I called him up and said, we really want this truck. Now, let me back up again. I skipped a very critical part of this story. We test drove this on the day before Thanksgiving. And when we did, we said to this guy, I said, look, we both, Julie and I said, look, we need to pray and think about it. And here I found out not only was he a Christian, but he went to church with my friend, with a friend of mine I used to work with. So God, and then to top it off, he wanted $6,400 for the truck, but without me saying a word, he reduced the price to $6,000. Then on Friday, when we decided we wanted the truck, he said, well, there is a warranty for 3 months on there. It costs about $150. I'll reduce the price of the truck again. And so he gave us the warranty and the truck for $6,000 even. So with tax and everything, it came out to $6,400. And it allowed us to put about over $2,000 away sitting in our bank account right now. Then I found a pair of jumper cables.
So you were able to buy a truck back.
Buy the truck back.
With cash. And have money over.
And
a cycle was broken in your life.
And a cycle of debt and discouragement and stuff was broken in my life.
Amen. Someone praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
So all this stuff not only was broken, but then, like I said, I went to work, which they paid me overtime and per diem for, at a time when my company was cutting back hours. And then, so last week I went to work and I was laid off for a month, which of course I got to collect unemployment for the next couple of weeks, but I'll be back to work in January.
Yes.
God already provided with the extra money left over from the truck, my per diem money and my overtime to get me through the month of January.
Amen.
So God has really blessed me.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
I'll get into preaching. Thank you very much, Les. Now, how many of you are ready for a cycle to be broken in your life? How many are ready for the cycle of sickness to be broken in your life? We serve a healing God. He wants you healed as much as He wants you saved. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Our God is a healing God. He is not the source of sickness. He is the source of life and blessing and wholeness. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. I found this interesting how Peter was sent by God to preach the gospel to a group of Gentiles in Cornelius' home. Cornelius had a vision. God recognized his giving. He recognized his prayers. But Cornelius was missing something. And an angel appeared to him and he said, I want you to contact Peter. He told him exactly where he was. And I want you to bring him over to your house. At the same time, Peter was meditating on a vision on a rooftop. And the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, there's men waiting for you at your door. Go with them, doubting nothing. So Peter got there. He didn't know what he was getting into. And he got to Cornelius' house. And he realized what the vision meant, that God wants to has salvation for the Gentiles as much as he had it for the Jews. So this is right in the middle of Peter's discourse on the gospel. Okay? And in verse 38, Peter is talking here. He says, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power, how he went about doing good, in particular, curing all. Everybody say all. Notice, curing all or healing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. So we see a couple things here. We see, number one, that Jesus is the author of life. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about. Every place in the gospel you can read Jesus going about. He would heal all. He would heal the multitude. He would heal the individual. Everybody, everybody say everybody. Everybody that came to Jesus left with what they needed. Because he was anointed by God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. He went about doing good, healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. The devil is the source of sickness and oppression in anybody's life. There are three ways that Jesus healed. By the power of the Holy Spirit, which involves his gifts and his sovereignty. By the anointing of God, which is the manifest power. It's that invisible force that when you're in the presence of God, when you're in worship, something invisible is working on your heart. It's working behind the scenes. That's the anointing. It's the power of God. And he does it by the spoken word, which includes the operation of faith. That involves laying on of hands and different things like that. But aren't you glad that Jesus is anointed? He has not lost his anointing. His anointing hasn't diminished. It's always here. It's just a matter of how much do you want it to affect you. You can have all of the anointing of God that you can handle. Go with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And let's go down to verse 46. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee. How many know what Cana was famous for? He performed his first miracle in Cana at a wedding, where he changed the water into wine. He added power to the water and made it more powerful. And there was a certain royal official whose son was lying ill in Capernaum. So here is a royal official, someone of prominent stature, someone who had position, someone who had power in the community. Okay? But he had a son who was ill. How many know sickness doesn't know any sociological boundaries? Now this person, this royal official, could have probably afforded the best medical care, the best doctor, because he was a royal official. Okay, maybe he had his own physician, I don't know. But he had a son who was ill. Having heard, everybody say heard. There was something he heard that sparked something in his heart. He heard something different than he ever heard before. Having heard that Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the presence of God. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He heard. He heard the Word. He heard that Jesus had come back from Judea into Galilee. He heard that the Word was present where he was. How many know that the Word is here today? Amen? So the word is here. And He went away to meet him and began to beg him to come down and cure his son, for he was lying at the point of death. How many know if you want God to act on your behalf, you've got to ask. God knows what you need. He knows what you want, but he's not going to give it to you unless you ask. Why? Because asking demonstrates faith in him. It demonstrates trust in him. It says, God, I can't do it on my own. I need your help. Then Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and miracles happen, you people will never believe at all. Say, I'm not motivated by sight. See, your sight can deceive you. How many has ever seen an optical illusion? It looks one way one time and another way another time. Your sight can deceive you. Your sight can change. Your sight can let you down. How many know people can put on a good face on the outside but be miserable on the inside? How many know actors, they can play a part, they can play a good part, but they can have messed up lives? Because it's all about the sight. It's all about the performance. It's all about what people see. Jesus said, unless you see a sign, don't get so moved by signs and wonders. You ought to be moved by the Word of God. Because the Word of God will never change. The Word of God will never deceive you. It is the truth. It is the absolute truth. You can put your trust in it. It will never let you down. Then verse 49, the king's officer pleaded with him, sir, do come down at once before my little child is dead. Jesus answered him, go in peace, your son will live. He didn't even have to come and lay hands on him. All he had to do was speak. Go and your son will live. Now how many know that's going to take faith? Because what condition was his son in prior to this? Near death. His son was in a bad state. His son had no hope. He thought he was going to die. He was convinced he was going to die because he was moved to action. When you're desperate, you'll do things that you never thought you would do. When you're hungry, how many know? When you're hungry, what do? You're heading for the refrigerator and you don't let anything come in your way. All Jesus said was, go in peace. Boy, did you know that the peace of God brings healing? Did you know that his peace is his presence because he's the Prince of Peace? Sickness is turmoil. Sickness is disorder. Sickness means something is out of order. There's something in you that doesn't belong. It's not right. It's out of order. But God brings peace, and his peace brings everything in order. You can change an atmosphere by the words you speak. You can be a thermostat or a thermometer. You know, what does a thermometer do? A thermometer just goes up and down. It just responds to its circumstances. But a thermostat, you set it at 72, and it'll go to 72. If it goes low, it'll kick on the heat. If it goes high, it'll kick on the air. It'll keep it at 72. It's working constantly to keep it at 72. Jesus was a thermostat. He changed the atmosphere wherever he went. And all this person did was hear that Jesus was there. That was enough for him to go to him. That was enough to compel him to come before him. And the man put his trust in what Jesus said and started home. Can you imagine the man just simply hearing what Jesus said, go in peace, your son will live. He said, okay, I can go now. He was able to walk away from his care. He left his care at the altar. He left his concern about his son at the feet of Jesus. Because he knew that as long as I have the spoken word, everything's going to be all right. All you need is the word and everything is going to be all right. You can jump out of a plane and the word will be your parachute. You heard about the guy who fell off the side of a cliff and he was hanging on a root that was sticking out the side of the mountain. And he was yelling, "Help, help, is there anybody up there?" And he heard a voice and he said, "I am God." He said, "God, help me." And God said, "Let go of the root." And the guy said, "Is there anybody else to help me?" Sometimes if you want to get what God has, you've got to let go of what you have. You want to hold on to your pain, your sickness, your hurt, you go right ahead. But you're going to miss out on peace. You're going to miss out on wholeness because you think you can do it yourself. You can't. There are things in our life that we need to let go of some attitudes. Oh, Pastor, now you're stepping on some toes. It's all right. Sometimes toes need to be stepped on. We're living in the last days. You got to get your game face on. It's the fourth quarter. You can't be lollygagging on the field. Oh, it's okay if I don't go to church today. Yeah, it may be your last day. Because you don't know what lies ahead. But Jesus does. He knows. There are dangers out in this world. We're hearing more and more. There was another shooting, where, in Nebraska. You got crazy people. The devil is motivating crazy people with guns going out and killing innocent people. We don't have a guarantee on tomorrow, but you do have a guarantee on eternity, and that's Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus today, today is your day. Because he wants to heal you. He wants to make you whole from head to toe and everything in between. He can bring everything into alignment that's out of order in an instant. Today, say today, is my day. Say, I've come here not only to sit in a comfortable chair, not to eat some good food, or hear some good music, but it's my day to get what Jesus has for me. That's how you got to be. I'm convinced that this royal official wouldn't have left until he got an answer. Verse 51. But even as he was on the road again, going down to his servants met him and reported saying, "Your son lives." Oh, I could see the smile on his face. Your son lives. Notice though. Verse 52, he asked them at what time he had begun to get better. They said, "Yesterday during the seventh hour, about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the fever left him." Then the father knew that it was at that very hour. Everybody say that very hour. The minute the word spoke, the healing occurred. The minute the word was released, the anointing was present. The minute the word went forth, things changed. But now the father had to mix faith. He had to trust only what Jesus said. He had nothing else to hold him up. He had nothing else to rely on, nothing else to lean on but Jesus. How many know that's enough? That's all you need. The Father knew that it was at that very hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live," and he and his entire household, everybody say household. It caused that royal official to have a revival in his family where his entire household came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as the Savior, as the King, as the healer. His entire household believed. This is the second sign that Jesus performed after he had come out of Judea into Galilee. How many know that when you believe God and he starts to change you, he'll change your family, he'll change your surroundings, he'll change your community. You can be the spark, he'll change a nation. Jonah was sent to a nation, and a whole nation repented. One man said, he walked through the city streets and he said, in 40 days, you're going to be destroyed. They believed what he said because they repented. They changed. But our God is anointed to heal. He touched Peter's mother-in-law and a fever left her. One touch from the Master will cause any sickness in you to dispel. He simply touched Peter's mother-in-law and the fever left and she got up and started serving them. He loves your mother-in-laws. And you should too, if you're married. After all, without your mother-in-law, you wouldn't have a wife. You know, if you never had kids, your children won't either. Some of them are thinking about that. He touched a leper. The leper came to him in Matthew 8. He says, I know that you are able to heal. He didn't doubt his ability. He didn't doubt his power. He didn't think that he was weaker than leprosy. He said, I know that you can. But the question that the leper had was, will you do it for me? I love what Jesus did. He touched him and he said, I will. That is his response to every person that has a sickness. He says, I will. I will. I will. Not wait a minute, not come back, but he says, I will. You cannot take the great I am and say he was. He is the great I am. He always will be the great I am. What does that mean? I am ever presently with you. Jesus healed a man with a withered hand in Matthew 12. Go with me to Exodus chapter 15. In order for you to benefit from healing, I'm going to take my coat off here. We're going to get down to business here a little bit. Amen? Exodus chapter 15. You must be fully persuaded. Everybody say persuaded. Now, it is not the preacher's job to convince you. The preacher is just the messenger. But the Holy Spirit is the one that does the convincing. Okay? So I'm going to share with you just some things that says it is God's will to heal. Consider me like a lawyer presenting case in a courtroom. And sickness is one of the prosecuting attorney's witnesses. Sickness, pain, guilt, shame. He calls them up to the witness stand. They testify against you. They accuse you. But thank God you have a lawyer named Jesus. You have an advocate with the Father who stands in the gap, who pleads his blood, and his Father's the judge. Exodus chapter 15. My pages are sticking together. Verse 26. This is Moses talking here. He says, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord our God, your God, and will do what is right in his sight, and will listen to and obey his commandments, and keep his statutes. I want you to notice what comes before the blessing. Your obedience, you're willing to listen. You're willing to do what he says, no matter what? Let me read that again. Diligently hearken to the voice. Do what is right in his sight. Listen to and obey his commandments. Keep his statutes. Notice what he says. I will put, everybody say I. God does not put sickness on people. He says, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Isn't that funny how he says back in Exodus, I am the Lord who heals you. If he was the I am who heals you then, he is the I am who heals you now, he is the I am who will heal you tomorrow. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord who heals you. He is Lord over sickness. Do you think he took those 39 stripes on his back for nothing? Because Isaiah 53:5 says, by his stripes we are healed. He did not suffer that in vain. Every stripe destroyed a source of sickness. Every stripe that was laid on his back destroyed a source of sickness. Every stripe. Because he is the Lord who heals. He paid the price for your healing. Just as much as he paid the price for your salvation. Hey, the kingdom of God is a buffet. Once you pay the price, you got access to everything on the buffet. You've got access to peace, to love, to joy, to comfort in tribulation, to exchanging ashes for beauty. You have access to lay aside your heaviness and to put on a garment of praise. You can lift up those heavy hands because Jesus paid the price. Go with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Look at verse 15. And the Lord will take away, everybody say, take away, from you some sickness, right? Are you sure it says all? He'll take away the cold. He'll take away the fever. He'll take away cancer. He'll take away any disorder. Yes. Yes, he will. The question is not whether he will or not whether he can. The question is, do you believe it? That's the question. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you know, upon you, but will lay them up upon all those who hate you. Because someone who hates takes themselves out of the love of God. They remove themselves from his protection and they expose themselves to the enemy. See, when you do anything that's contrary to the word, you remove yourself from the protection. You expose yourself to the lion, to the one who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 30. Still with me? What am I doing? I'm building up your faith for healing by giving you what the Word says. Why is faith important? Because that's how we receive anything from God. It takes faith. You've got to be fully persuaded that it's God's will to heal. It means you can't have doubt anywise to the contrary. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17. For I will restore health to you. I will heal your wounds, says the Lord, because they have called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no one seeks after and for whom no one cares. Go with me to 3 John chapter 2. 3 John chapter 2, little John. You got big John and little John. No relation to Robin Hood, though. 3 John chapter 2, or 3 John verse 2, there's only one chapter. Listen to what God's heart is. Beloved, I pray, some translations say I wish or I desire, that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know that your soul keeps well and prospers. King James says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Well, how does your soul prosper? What is soul prosperity? You know, in order to live the life that Jesus lives, it's going to require us to renew our minds. We're going to have to change our thinking. How do we change our thinking? Do we get out some Irish Spring and rub it on our heads? I wish it were that easy. But in order to renew our minds, we've got to get in the Word of God. You've got to study. You've got to become acquainted with who Jesus is, what he likes, what he doesn't like, his characteristics, his qualities. Because only by the renewing the mind do we prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you've got to be fully persuaded. Is there healing in the Bible? Yes. Even Abraham prayed for Abimelech and he got healed. There's healing in the Old Testament, healing in the New Testament. Naaman the leper, who was a prominent Syrian military captain, but he had leprosy. Through a little servant girl, said, you know, why don't you go down to Israel? There's a prophet there who brings healing. So he went. The prophet didn't even meet him. See, because sometimes God wants to see what kind of attitude you have. Are you coming to God with a pure attitude, or do you got some hidden motive? Because Jesus can see right through it. He can see beyond the mask that you put up. That's why he'll never force anybody to believe him. He makes an invitation and an offer, but then it's up to you as the individual to believe him and to come to him. He'll never make you do anything. If that were true, he'd make us all get saved, wouldn't he? You know, kind of like the Christian assassin. He'll give you the plan of salvation before he pulls the trigger. Isn't that nice of him? You're going to get saved. Oh, yes, yes. He wants you healthy. Now, healing is both spiritual, but it also involves wisdom. If God tells you don't eat something, don't eat it. He's got a reason for it. Why don't you just trust him? And Jesus, he healed people to fulfill the scriptures. Matthew 8:17 says, he healed a bunch of people to fulfill what Isaiah spoke back in Isaiah 53:5. Did you know that healings revealed who he was? It revealed to people that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who came to, he's the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer. Let me tell you something. Sickness is a thief. And it kills, it steals, and it destroys. It takes your time, it takes your money, it takes your energy. It hinders you from doing what God called you to do. It's a thief. Jesus is not a thief. But we know who is. Jesus said, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he said, but I've come that you may have life more abundantly. How many wants a more abundant life? A life more abundant is what he's come to give. He sent his word and healed people. His word is medicine to all your flesh. If a doctor was to tell you, I want you to take this prescription 3 times a day, how many would follow the doctor's advice? Come on, if a doctor said, I'm giving you this medicine, take it 3 times a day, how many would follow that advice? So how many would apply the scripture 3 times a day to a sickness? We're more inclined to listen to what a doctor says than what Jesus says. How many would take the extra effort and get into the Word and study about what the Bible says about healing? If you want to know more about it, it's right here. He healed them all. He healed every sickness and disease. Great multitudes were healed. He taught, he preached, and he healed. Those were the 3 primary things that Jesus did. Now, was he doing something that God wasn't in agreement with? If God is for sickness and Jesus went about healing, he's disobedient to God. Because he came to do the Father's will. Everything that Jesus did was in line with what the Father wanted. He said, I and the Father are one. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you know what? I love it. He destroyed the works of the devil. Go with me to Luke 13. We're flying at 30,000 feet, but we're starting to approach our descent. Because faith, I feel faith is rising in the room. Amen? Simply by what Jesus said, there is power. There is power in His Word. I'm telling you, there was a time when Jesus was teaching. Simply teaching a message. And the Bible says that the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But while He was teaching, only one got healed because there were so many people in the room, they were just there to be there. They didn't come to get something. I'm talking to a group of people that came to get something today. If you're here and you've come to get something today, say amen. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I feel that. Luke 13. Did you know that oftentimes when Jesus would cast out a spirit, they'd be able to do what they couldn't do? Well, I thought sickness was from God. Well, you thought wrong. Sickness is not from God. Healing is. Life is. A better life is. God's got something for you to do. He's got people for you to reach. Oh, I thought I was just called to just sit back. No. You're involved. When you name the name of Jesus, you choose sides in a battle. Luke 13, verse 11. There was a woman there who for 18 years had an infirmity caused by a spirit. Huh. She had a spirit of infirmity, and this spirit bound this woman for 18 years. Why couldn't she find relief? Because maybe in those 18 years she never heard the truth. Maybe she was lied to. Maybe she was told that God put that sickness on you. And maybe she was angry at God. I don't know. And she was unable to straighten herself up or to look upward. Can you imagine being like this for 18 years? Hi, how you doing? My name's Doug. What's wrong with you? Well, I don't know. She didn't know it was a spirit. But that spirit bound her. That spirit held her captive. That spirit oppressed her. And only the anointing and the name of Jesus could break the power of that spirit's hold. And when Jesus saw her, He called her and said to her, "Woman, you are released from your infirmity." Upon seeing her, Jesus recognized the force behind that woman's captivity. And the first thing He did was He delivered her. He did not want her to suffer anymore. Notice He's speaking the word again. Man, Jesus went around speaking the word and things happened. Can you imagine? Imagine what would happen if we would just go around speaking the word. What would happen? Huh? Imagine what would happen in your life if we would just start speaking the word of God. So Jesus, He saw her, He called to her and said, "Woman, you are released from your infirmity." Other translations say, "You are loosed." Then He laid His hands on her, and instantly she was made straight. And she recognized and thanked and praised God. See, that healing brought her knowledge of God. Healing is the dinner bell. Some of you, I can sense that you're getting hungry. That's okay, because I'm getting hungry too. When you walk into a room and that aroma kind of just fills the room, you're like, "Oh, I hope he doesn't preach too long." But something happened when He laid His hands on her. She knew about God for the first time. She recognized and thanked God for the release that she had for 18 years. No one could release her except when Jesus, when the word came by, when Jesus came by. It happened in an instant. But the leader of the synagogue, the religious person, was indignant because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. That man didn't even care for the woman. I can't believe you did something good, Jesus. How dare you bring healing to her? Think about it. That's what religion tells you. Oh, you go to that church. That's right, I go to that church. They were indignant and said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which work ought to be done. To a religious person, healing is done by works. So is salvation. You got to earn it. You're not good enough. You came from the wrong side of the tracks. You don't have to earn healing. Healing is not a payment that God made, it's a gift that he gives freely to everyone who asks. But the religious person said, there are 6 days in which to work. And that's the days in which work ought to be done. So come on those days and be cured, not on the Sabbath day. Well, hello, Sabbath means rest. That religious person didn't even understand the Sabbath. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He can do anything he wants to on the Sabbath. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't say, okay, lady, come back tomorrow. I can't do anything. It's the Sabbath. Aren't you glad when you call on him, he doesn't say, hold on a minute. I got someone else on the line. I'll get to you when I can. Aren't you glad he's not that way? Aren't you glad that when he calls, he answers you? Aren't you glad that our God is omnipresent? He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He can be everywhere and anywhere and do anything he wants to do. He's not bound by time. He's not bound by limits. He's not even bound by the natural laws. And if he wants to break a natural law, he can. If he wants to walk on the water, he can. If he wants to raise a dead man who's been dead for 4 days, he can. I feel like preaching now. Jesus wants to do it to you today. He wants to heal you. He wants to touch you. He wants to deliver you. Hallelujah. Someone, come on and praise his name. But I love how Jesus responded. He replied to him saying, you play actors, you hypocrites. Do not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it out to water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 years, be loosed from this? Ought not this son or this daughter of Abraham, this child of faith, ought not this person be loosed from their infirmity right now? Who wants to be like Pharaoh? And when Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, you want to get rid of the frogs? He says, okay, come back tomorrow. One more night with the frogs. They had frogs everywhere. They had frogs in the bed, frogs in the oven, frogs in the sinks. No, I don't want it now. Come back tomorrow. Don't come back tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Faith is now. Everybody say now. Faith is now. It's right now. All it takes is for you to believe, and that power is released to you. How long does it take you to believe? Let me think about that, Lord. Yeah, while you're thinking, you can still be in pain. Or you can quit thinking, start believing, and get free. Right now. Today. Today is your day. Look at your neighbor. Say, today is your day. Today is your day. Verse 17, even as he said this, all his opponents were put to shame. Hallelujah. Woo! You want to put your opponents to shame? And all the people were rejoicing over the glorious things that were being. Everybody say being. Being done means occurring right now and ongoing. Woo! Ought not these children of Abraham be loosed from the infirmity? How did Jesus heal? Through teaching and preaching, through the laying on of hands, through the authority of the spoken word, from people speaking and acting in faith, by believing, by casting out demons, and by doing what Jesus said to do. Well, now we've arrived at the moment of decision. You've heard the word. Scripture after scripture after scripture, I could give you more. I didn't even touch on Psalms 103, who says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name and forget not all of his benefits." Some of us have forgotten the benefits that God gave us. Some of you, you need to change your attitude. You need to get self off the throne, and you need to put Jesus there. But today is your day to be loosed, to be free. And I'm talking mental, physical, spiritual, financial, social. I'm talking about every area God wants to see healing in you today. It's here for you. In the name of Jesus, Father, I give you thanks and praise for your wonderful, glorious word. And Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to move in our midst and to demonstrate the word spoken in Jesus' name. I have declared the word of the Lord on healing today. Healing is the children's bread. Healing is part of our covenant with God. Healing comes through the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. He wants you whole. He wants you healed. He doesn't want you to suffer. That's why he came. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose from the dead. And if you're here today and you're sick in your body, you're sick in your mind, and you need a touch from heaven, today heaven is going to come on you. The anointing is going to flow on you in the name of Jesus, and you're going to be free. You're going to be free. You're going to be free because it's God's desire to get you free. And if that's you today, I want you to come up now in the name of Jesus. Come and believe. Come and receive in Jesus' name. But you know, the greatest healing of all is when a soul is rescued from hell. When someone is given a get out of hell ticket. My friend Jesus, he's got a get out of hell ticket for you today. He's extending his hand of salvation because he loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to deliver you from the power of sin. He wants to free you from Satan's dominion. And he wants you to be glorious. He wants you to walk with him and fellowship with him. And maybe you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I don't know what's going to happen to me. If I die tomorrow, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity." Today you can find out in Jesus' name. If you need to be healed, if you need to be saved, then come up here right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, you're so good. And as they're coming up, I want us to just begin to praise the Lord for just a few minutes. We're all going to have lunch anyway, so we're not in a hurry. Hallelujah. We got to take care of this first. Oh, I just rebuke every sickness and every disease in the name of Jesus. And I release the anointing of God, Father. I release your anointing right now in Jesus' name. That by the stripes of Jesus' back, we were healed. We were healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you ready to receive? before. Hallelujah. Right now, Father, in Jesus' name, we release the healing anointing. Be healed in Jesus' name. Strength. Touch it right now, Father. Touch it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name.
Because he knows my name.
Let's just worship the Lord for just a moment. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We honor your presence, Lord Jesus. Oh, we thank you for being in our midst, mighty God. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for performing your word. Oh, we thank you, Father, for the miracle working power. Oh, that's in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that every demonic force is gone out of every individual. I thank you, Father, that minds are being released in the name of Jesus. Lord, that clear thoughts are able to come. There's a soundness to the mind. I declare every mind to be sound and to have the mind of Christ. Oh, Lord, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty power, your precious word. Hallelujah.
If you have, go ahead, Matt. It's okay. I just feel like there's anointing here, you know, especially this time of the year. If you have hurts, emotional stuff, your mind, it just bombards your mind this time of the year, especially. Just stand up where you are. God's here. That's what does.